It is a holy day, and we are excited to be before the only throne that matters as we contemplate what it means that God interrupted our world. So if you would turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. A familiar passage. I pray that we see something different in it this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. When you got to say amen.
Amen.
Okay, we sound good. As we enter into the Christmas story, the Word of God reads, "In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" Somebody say afraid.
Afraid.
"Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left, somebody say left. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and as it had been told them. If you could return with me briefly to the middle of verse 15. We'll begin at the beginning of the verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." Sisters and brothers, God is telling us this morning, go and see. Go and see. Today in this familiar Christmas story, we encounter some people who have a choice before them. This choice that they have to make, it's not a matter of life and death. It's not that dramatic. I kind of wish that the story were that way. That'd make it easier to preach. But it's not a matter of life and death. It's rather a choice between whether they want to participate in what God is doing, participate in what God is up to, or keep doing what they were already doing. The choice between whether they want to take part in what God is up to or to keep doing, staying in the same place where they are, doing what they were already doing. This is a profound choice for us. This is a profound story for us because we too are often and in many ways faced with this same choice. We too sometimes find ourselves that God has sent messengers telling us that God is doing some amazing things, and we have the choice to go, to risk, to see what God is doing, or to keep doing what we're doing. Some people choose outright not to go. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to go and see what God is up to. Some people remain in a perpetual state of indecision, not deciding whether to move or to not move. But of course, we know that staying in indecision, refusing to make a decision for too long is in itself a decision. If you refuse to make a decision, you are choosing instead to relinquish the consequences of whatever decision you might make, and choosing instead to live with the consequences of indecision in your life. Refusing to make a decision is, as we know, itself a decision. Then there are some people, when faced with this choice, whether to participate, to go take part in what God is doing, or to keep doing what they were doing, there are some people who find inside themselves a longing strong enough for the purposes that God had in their lives, that they push past the precipice of fear, and they find themselves that their lives become a journey, a pursuit of God's purposes for them, sometimes messy, sometimes problematic, but a pursuit nonetheless, a meaningful pursuit. So in a way, this choice, it is It is kind of a matter of life and death, not physical death, not physical life, but whether we truly live the lives that we were designed to live or whether we let life pass us by. The people we meet today in Luke's gospel, they were shepherds. And I wish I knew their names. But these are the type of people in Scripture who were not considered the fancy people of their time. They were not considered those whom history sought to write down their names. Just a few verses before, we do get some names. There's the Emperor Augustus. He gets written down. There's the Governor Quirinius. He gets written down. They were the fancy people whose names history saw fit to record. But even though they were the fancy people, God did not choose to show up to the emperor or to the governor. We know their names, but they were not the ones who saw God at work on this holy night so long ago. The shepherds were not the ones with the fancy titles or the positions that would make them feel important. Maybe that's why it was so hard for them to accept that God was showing up to them. That God had something that God needed them to participate in. And many times in life, isn't that how it is? We find it hard to believe that God could be asking us to go and do something, could be asking us to step into a life that has impact beyond us because we the world does not treat us like we're the fancy people whose name should be recorded. But we see in this story that that's not how God operates, that God is no respecter of persons. And though Governor Quirinius was there, though Emperor Augustus was there, God did not show up to the emperor or to the governor. No, God showed up to these shepherds. These shepherds, they're working the overnight shift. Anybody ever had to do some overnight work? And you know when you're working the overnight shift, the sleep deprivation can get to you. And you can feel a little bit like maybe you're seeing things in the night because the sleep deprivation is just that intense. And they're working this overnight shift. They're not expecting anything life-changing to take place, even though they too have heard the prophecies. They too know that God is working on this situation with their people Israel. They too have they've heard the prophecies and they too hope it's true. Yet when God shows up in their lives and says, "Yes, it's happening and I want you involved," they are not expecting it, and they are certainly not expecting it to involve them. Suddenly an angel comes and says to them, something amazing is about to happen and God wants you to be a part of it, to you to be there. This is good news. This is what they've been expecting. This is what they've even been praying for. This is what they hear. Now here it is. This is what they hear about when they go to church and they believe it for about 12 minutes and they're expecting it, they're hoping it, they want it to be true. Yet when God shows up in their lives, an angel comes and says, God is doing amazing things. What do? They do not say, oh, we are excited about it. What do? They get afraid. Isn't this just like us? We go to church, we hear what the prophets tell us about hope and about things turning around and about our lives turning into the abundant lives that God designed us to have. We hear the words. We hope they're true. For those 12 and a half minutes, we believe them. But then when God shows up, then when things start happening, you come to church and you hear that you are the beloved of God, that you are the image of God, that God has hopes for you, a plan and a future. Yet when the promotion comes, you get afraid. You come to church and you hear that God has plans to prosper you, that God is trying to pull something out of you, that God believes that you can do the thing, that God wants you to help build the kingdom, but that when the job application is in front of you, God shows up and says, step into this. Fear is so often what happens. Luke tells us that they were terrified. An angel comes and says, God needs you over here. They celebrate, terrified. We often think that fear, when fear comes in, we often think that fear is an indication that God is not involved in it. We take our fear and we take it as evidence that this thing is not of God, that this means I shouldn't go. But did you know that there's this thing in the scriptures called a theophany? Theophany is when God shows up. A theophany is a physical manifestation of the divine. And did you know that in scriptures, every time God shows up, every time there's a theophany, fear always accompanies it? I need you to know this because I know that God is showing up in your life. I need you to know, because I know that there are things that you prayed for, and there are things that you hear about, there are things that you want to be true and you want to take place, and then God shows up, but fear chases right behind. And what do? You take it as evidence. No, I don't feel ready, therefore I'm not. No, I don't. This doesn't feel good, therefore it can't be of God. I'm terrified, therefore this is not where I should go. No, fear always shows up when God is there. Fear is not an indication that God is not in it. We see here the first thing they felt when God was all around, when the moment was as holy as it could be, when God was doing something, fear was the first thing they felt. For us, I need to tell you, it's not a feeling. It is a decision. Sometimes we trust in spite of our feelings. And we see when the angels show up today, fear came too, just like it does with us. We also see when these shepherds, whose names did not get recorded yet, in whom God was working in a mighty way, when they encountered their moment with the divine, another thing happened that often happens to us. Another thing happened is that it did not look like they expected. We believe and we hope and we want for God to show up, but then when it does, it doesn't always look the way we expected. It is hard for me to communicate to you how opposite of everyone's expectations the Christmas story was. This was not a princess born in a palace whose child was announced with royal decrees. No, this was an illegitimate, seemingly, because we know no child is really illegitimate, an illegitimate child born out of wedlock into a problematic situation, a family who did not have resources. No one expected this to be the holy action of God. This was everything opposite of what everyone expected. The shepherds did not think that God would come to them in the middle of a dirty field with the sheep all around and them smelling like they had been working all night. The shepherds did not expect God to say, you are the one I want. The shepherds did not expect them to say, and you know where I want you to go? You know where I want you to see God's action at work? You know where I want you to see my holy hand moving history? I want you to go to a barn. This was the opposite of expected. And we get stopped up here when God comes to announce that God is up to something and God needs us to go, because it's often opposite of what we expected. We expected it to be easy. Ooh, and it's hard. We expected it to be sooner, and it took a little time, or maybe a lot of time, and we rail against it and we feel like, oh, this must not be God's activity at work because it's not how I expected it. We expected it to be smooth and people to be congratulating us and things to go well, but it's messy. We expected the one that God sent to us to look a certain way. Isn't it crazy how God, when God shows up, our expectations are often subverted? You don't expect, like Carlos was saying, you don't expect the person that you were trying to help to turn around and bless you. You don't expect the situation that you thought was there to just irritate. You don't expect it to turn around and be the blessing. You don't expect God's activity in the ways that it comes. Oftentimes we can get stuck and we can not decide that we're not going to go because it doesn't look the way we expected. And then the angels do a crazy thing in this situation with shepherds today. The angels do a crazy thing. They come and they tell shepherds, we are here telling you that what God is doing, God needs you to go and participate in something. And then the angels have the nerve to leave. The angels leave. We never see in the field. We expect that the shepherds, they know exactly what's going on, that they have a blueprint. But it says here that the angels, they came, they said to them, do not be afraid. I'm telling you what's going on. You will find a child. Then the angels were there praising God. Then the angels had left them and they went into heaven. And the shepherds were faced with a choice. I say this to you because I've said this before and I need you to know that the word angel in Greek just means messenger. You may not have seen in your life someone with white wings flapping and telling you exactly what God is doing, but I bet that God has sent some messengers. I bet that there have been moments in your life when you have felt especially in the most important journeys and the most important transition moments, when you have felt like there is a message coming to you from someone that God has sent, from some, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a friend, whether it's a text message, whether it's your mother telling you on the phone. I don't know what the messenger may have been, but I know sometimes we get a message and it seems really clear and we feel confident for about 2.5 minutes, and then the messenger leaves. Then you leave church and the feeling goes away. Then you turn the podcast off, and by the next red light, you're already feeling like, oh, this is not going to work. I don't even know. This is not for me. Then the person leaves around the corner and your encouragement leaves. We don't get a constant message. The angels left. Sometimes our messengers come and give us the message and then they leave, and we are left with the choice. We are left with the choice whether to go or to stay. To go, to dive into the thing that God has been asking you to do, or to stay and do what you were doing. So this Advent season, this Christmas story, God's word has been leading us on a journey, and I've been doing my best to keep up and proclaim what God is saying to us through these stories. God has been saying, if you remember the first Sunday of Advent, God has been telling us we have to let go of our belief in impossibility. When the angel came and said to Zechariah and to Elizabeth, there's no such thing as what? Oh, y'all weren't even. See, that was a dangerous quiz to give. I'm gonna have to try harder. There's no such thing as too late. God was trying with that one to get us to let go, like we were Zechariah, let go of your belief in impossibility. There's no such thing as too late. And then when God came to speak to Mary through the angel, God was trying to tell us, to get us to believe, not in impossibility, but in possibility. God said to Mary, all things are possible with God. God is trying to tell us, you got to let go of that belief in impossibility. You got to believe in possibility, not guarantee, but possibility. And then today, God is saying to us, here it is. Once you let go of belief in impossibility, once you truly believe that things are not guaranteed, but that things are possible, here it is, then you have to act on it. This season of possibility that God is giving us, God is trying to seal the deal and say, look, I'm trying to get you to a place and do my action, my activity in your life, but you have to be like the shepherd. Sometimes I leave you with the choice. Weigh your belief in impossibility. I tell you that all things are possible with me, but in that moment, I give you a choice and you have to go and see. And this is what we see that the shepherds do today. The angels leave. Fear is still there. It's not how they expected. The angels are gone, and then they have the choice. Do they go or do they stay? Do they do what the angel said? Or do they stay where they were and let life be the way that it was? Now, I don't know what your field is. I don't know what those places are in your life that you're waiting in. I don't know what the field of your familiarity is. I don't know if it's a job that feels familiar, but God is saying, you know what, I'm doing something and I need you to come over here and see what I'm doing. I don't know if it's the same way of thinking, a place that's become familiar to you. I don't know if it's the same people, hanging out with the same people who are not bringing you and not helping you to get into the places that God has designed for you. I don't know what your field might be. You know, some seasons are meant to be temporary seasons in our lives. Some things, some places are not meant to be our permanent station, but we make them into permanent things. It says in the text that the shepherds were living in the fields. Some seasons in our lives, some places are not meant to be our forever home, but we pitch a tent. We pitch a tent and we stay there. Why? Because of the fear. Why? Because we're not sure that there's anything anywhere else. And God is saying to us, no, if you want to see me at work, if you want to see my activity, if you say you want to see these things take place, you have to come. You have to go and see what I'm up to. I bet you, I don't know what your field is. I don't know what your place of comfort, your place where the familiar things that you could just stay in. I don't know what your field is, but I bet you there's fear involved. I bet you there's fear involved. I bet you the things that you're hoping to do, they look different than what you expected. And I bet your messengers came, but I bet they don't stay around all the time. The angels left and the shepherds had a choice. The angels left out of the field and they went back to heaven and they said, I'm leaving you with this message and you have a choice. You can stay where you are in the life that you know. You can stay where you are here in the field, or you can go and see what God is doing. You can go and see if it's true, these prophecies you've heard and these things that you've prayed for and that you hoped were the case. You can stay where you are. You can stay in the life that you know. You can stay in the familiar places that are okay. They're not, it's not a matter of life and death, but it's not the life you were designed to live. You can stay in those places, or you can go and see. Or you can go and see what God is up to. Sometimes it's in the going that you see the glory. This is what we see in the shepherd's story today, that they didn't stay where they didn't know what was going to happen on the other side. The angel said, you got to go. I got to tell you about this thing, but you need to go and see it. I'm not going to bring Bethlehem to you. And the glory comes when you see. What did they see when they went to Bethlehem? What did they get to see? They got to see the incarnation of God. They got to see God showing up in human history and in their lives. They got to see God doing things that they didn't expect. Glory came, and it said they began to praise God when after they went and after they saw. There is something in going and seeing. There's something that shifts in us that takes place when we take a step and we walk towards the things that we've been praying for, the things that we've been believing in, the things that God's messengers have been telling us about. We don't get 24/7 messages, but they tell us about it. We believe them enough. There's something that happens when we take that step and we go and we see. You know, there is a difference. There is a difference for us between waiting for it to be proven to us and going and seeing. I don't know if any of you know about that. Let me wait and let it be proven to me. Let me wait and let God show me what God is going to do. Let me wait and see. No, waiting and seeing is different from going and seeing. Waiting and seeing usually is actually us waiting for it to be proven not to be true. We say we're waiting for it to be proven to be true, but we're really waiting for it to be proven to be not true, because then we don't have to go. Then we don't have to face the fear. Then we don't have to face the things that trouble us. No, if we wait and see, that's not the same as going. James told us in the scriptures, James said, sometimes you got to do something. He said, blessed is he who does the word. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. When you do the word, there are blessings that come when you go and when you see. There's something magical in this. The breakthrough often comes when we act like the shepherds and we go and we see. Why? Because there's some things you can't do while you go. There are some things that you just cannot do at the same time as you go. If you are in motion, there's some things that you cannot do. You can mourn while you go, but you cannot crumple if you're going. You can be sad, but you cannot be put down all the way. Did you know that you can experience pain while you're going, but it is physically impossible to stay on your knees and go at the same time? Your pain can get to you, but your pain cannot keep you on your knees if you're going at the same time. It's physically impossible to be on your knees and go at the same time. There's a magic in God saying, I need you to go and see. Because your pain can't get the best of you when you're going, when you're in motion. This is what the shepherds learned today. They go and they see, and what happens? They see the glory of God. What happens? What do they get when they go and they see? Some things that you are going to get to. When you let God pull you out of the fields where you are, when you let God say, this season of possibility is not just a Christmas story, this is what I'm trying to do in your life, some things happen. One, they get to take part in what God is doing. They get to take part in what God is doing. Now, this is heavy for us. I need you to hear this. They get to take part in what God is doing. God would anyway. God was doing what God was doing in the manger anyway. It would have happened anyway, but they might not have seen it. God is doing some things in the world anyway. God is doing things in the world, but God wants you to be there. And what would have happened if the shepherds had not gone? And see, they would have never known. Their life would have felt the same. They would have never known this whole other world that was taking place. God is going to do it anyway, but God wants you to be there. You might never know what God is up to if you don't go and you don't see. If you stay in the places that make you comfortable, there is something that God is trying to pull out of you and trying to take place on this earth. It's going to happen anyway, but don't you want to participate? The other thing they get when they go and they see, impact. We all dream of impact. We are, God said God made us in God's image. And God is the ultimate creator. We are all also creators. We dream of impact. We dream to create something, to have the world be different because we are here. We dream of impact. These shepherds got impact. You know, it's funny. We often think that the Bible characters, that they have it all together. But Mary learned something from these shepherds. If you see in the text, it says she pondered these things and treasured them in her heart. They helped her to see what was really going on in her story that day. And I can just see Mary. I don't know if you could see. If you sit back and imagine Mary, this young mother. Jesus was too young to remember, but I can just see her a few years down the road telling him the story of these shepherds who came and they saw. Telling him the story of these shepherds who traveled all this way just to come and say hello to you at your birth. Telling him the story of these good shepherds who came and people didn't expect them to be anything special, but God had sent them on a mission, and she's telling him the story of these shepherds. And then I can just see Jesus as he gets a little older, as he's searching for the metaphors of how to describe himself and what metaphors to use. And he says, I am the vine. And you are the branches. Then he says, I am the gate. He says, I am the door. And then he says, you know what? I am like a good shepherd. My mom told me about some shepherds, and I'm a little bit like that, the good shepherd. And then these shepherds whose names history did not trouble itself to record. These shepherds whose names didn't make it. They had their impact. Because Jesus, once he told us that he was like the good shepherd, we kept talking about them. And we kept talking about them over and over. Now, if you go to East 31st Street in Manhattan, you'll look up and you'll see a church that's called the Good Shepherd. Their names didn't get written down in history, but if you go right now to New York City, you'll see a church that is all about them. And if you go to Avenue U in Brooklyn, you will look up and you'll see a church that's called the Church of the Good Shepherd. And history couldn't record their names. It didn't trouble itself. But because they went and they saw, they had impact that lasted all the way to the day. There are things that happen when you go and when you see. So I need you to know, I don't know what your field is. I don't know what God has been speaking to you about in this season of possibility. I don't know what God is saying in your heart when God says, all things are possible with me. When God says, I need you to believe that I can do all things, that your life is a life in which I want to pull out miracles, your life. I don't know what comes to your mind when Jesus says, I came so that your life might be abundant. I don't know what possibilities God is trying to weave and what field you sometimes find yourself in. What choice you have between doing the things that you've always done or between going and seeing what God is up to. I don't know what those choices are. But I do know that when we go into good things happen. When Peter and he saw, he dove into the life that Jesus had for him. When Ruth, she went and she saw what was on the other side after that deep pain that had happened to her. She saw some things. She met Boaz and her life became what God had for it to be. When Michelle Obama decided to go on a date with an intern that she met at her law firm, she said, okay, fine, we'll go see a movie afterwards. She went and she saw and some good things happened and God was up to something. God is going to be up to something in you. But sometimes we have to go and we have to see. We can let this season of Christmas just be about the pretty stories. And we can let these characters just be characters in a nativity set. Or we can do what God, we can let God take root in our spirit and be speaking to us about the possibilities and what we need to do about them. We can let these stories just be stories. Or we can let God be doing something in our lives in this Christmas season. You can. As God is asking you, I'm up to something amazing. My possibilities are endless. And yes, I'm talking about you. Come and see. We have the choice to say yes to God, to say yes, to go and see what God is up to. We have the choice. And I pray that this Christmas season, as we get ready for what God is doing, that you let in your heart that choice and you tell God, yes, yes, I will go. Yes, I will see what you're doing. And yes, God, I believe in the possibilities that you have put in my life. And whatever you say is what I want to do. Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet as we sing this song.